It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. We're glad that you're with us. It's Thursday, the 27th of April. April is almost gone. And we want to encourage you with these scriptures. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. God bless those on Facebook with your wonderful greetings. God bless you. It's time for us to have our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. We thank you for this time to come together to be able to open up your word. As we receive fresh manna from heaven, please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and bless us this morning as we grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
It's about time.
Good morning, Saints of the Most High. We are in First John, written by the same John that wrote St. John, but this is First John, chapter 1. But we're entitling this Confession. Amen. Confession. There are only 10 verses. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we study the Word this morning, we're asking for your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. Help us to treasure the truth, for it sets us free. Help us not to want to be in bondage in any way. We ask that you will deliver us from ourselves and from Satan in all of his and all of his temptations. We ask that you will bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, we're in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And that word is capital W. They're talking about, John is talking about Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. You know, I like that, brothers and sisters. If you haven't had an experience with God, you can't really share God with people. And so if you want to be a better witness, you need to spend more time with Jesus. Then you will tell people about your experience with Jesus. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Isn't that beautiful? A lot of people think that to become a Christian means that you have to be sad and mad and never glad and always bad. No, it is a joyous experience. Happy, the Bible said, is that people whose God is the Lord. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Friends, when you have Jesus, you have peace. And it's just a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. All right, let's read on. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Friends, you can't go to heaven hiding any sin. We can't go to heaven half converted. We have to surrender all. Being a true Christian is the hardest, easiest thing you've ever done. Why is it hard? Because you have to surrender. Why is it easy? Because all you have to do is surrender. Did you catch that? You know, there's a phrase that says, know Jesus, that's K-N-O-W. If you know Jesus, you know peace, that's K-N-O-W. And then the next phrase says, know Jesus, know peace. Friends, we need peace, and it will only come if we accept Jesus into our hearts. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. So what is the prerequisite of fellowship? We've got to walk in the light. And if we're walking in the light, we do have fellowship one with another. So if you're not fellowshipping with somebody and both of you all claim to be Christian, somebody's not walking in the light. It's just that simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But you can't fellowship with those. That doesn't say you can't reach out to. I didn't say you can't witness to. But I'm talking about fellowship. You can't fellowship with those who are walking in darkness. It just doesn't work. Again, we reach them. We witness to them. We help them. We minister to them. But when you fellowship, we're talking about membership, and we're all in the same body, that has to, we have to walk in the same light. You can't walk together if you don't agree. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So brothers and sisters, people who call themselves sinless ones or who've never sinned, God's not in them. And God is trying to help us understand all have sinned and come short, but we can have victory. Now, here's our key point. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, brothers and sisters, confession is a part of repentance. Most people won't repent. And if they say they've repented, they have not confessed. I want to read to you some things from a book called Steps to Christ, page 37. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to God, to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalms 34, verse 18. True confession is always of a specific character and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that should be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them, or they may be of a public character and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which we are guilty. Friends, if we truly are repentant, we will confess. If what we did was of a public nature and we did something where people saw it, then we should publicly confess. If it is private, you don't need to go to a priest, neither do you need to go to a pastor or anybody else. If it's something you did in private, you confess it to God. If you injured somebody suffered an injury, that doesn't always be a physical, it could be an emotional injury. You called somebody a name, you lied to somebody, you took up a reproach against somebody, you changed how you treated somebody because you heard things about them and you never went to them to see if it was true. That's a sin, brothers and sisters, and we have to confess. If we confess, God says he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but we have to confess. It's pride that keeps us from being in the kingdom, friends. People are too proud to repent, too proud to confess. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you won't be forgiven. But if you confess and the heart has been melted by the blood of Jesus, you will gladly want to make things right with your brothers and sisters and with God. The last verse says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's our message for today, friends, confession of sin. But it's all of 1 John chapter 1. May God bless you. Father, be with us as we continue to worship you today. And as we begin this day with worship and wellness together, we pray that you will enlighten us and inspire us and teach us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, at this time, we will transition to wellness with the Torso Wellness Song. And I hope you're blessed as you relax and enjoy.
May shock you too. to know. God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can't stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth.
Adam and said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Corso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, it's time for wellness, brothers and sisters, and we're going to talk about disease today. We're going to share with you some biblical principles. When I say biblical principles, not that we would quote scripture, but this is the biblical way of looking at disease. The Bible has a principles of how things should operate, and I'm going to be reading from a book called Ministry of Healing, and it says, disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. So that's on page 127. If you go in your Bibles, you'll find that when Jesus healed people of leprosy, it says he cleansed them. Notice disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. Okay, that's page 127. This effort of nature is twofold. Let's go to that same page, brothers and sisters. It says, in case of sickness, the cause should be ascertained. That's step number one of what we should do. Unhealthful conditions should be changed. That's step number two of what we should do. Wrong habits corrected. That's step number three in what we should do. Then notice number four, then nature is to be assisted in her effort. Remember, disease was an effort to free the system. It should be assisted in her effort to expel impurities, and to reestablish right conditions in the system. So disease is simply your body's effort to expel toxins or impurities and reestablish right conditions in the system. That's all it is. That's what it is. And if you understand that and break it down and unpack it, you have an understanding of disease that's not taught in 12 years of medical school. That's if you get a specialty. You probably have to be in there for 12 years. Doesn't usually take that long. But disease is an effort of nature to do what? To free the system from what? Conditions that result from what? A violation of the laws of health. So that means that a violation of the laws of health leads to certain conditions that the body seeks to free itself from, and disease is that effort to get that freedom. Now, notice the statement didn't say violations of the laws of health. It says a violation of the laws of health. Why is it not plural? The Bible tells us in James 2:10, for whoso shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So, brothers and sisters, if you live a good life but you break the Sabbath, the Bible says you're guilty of all the Ten Commandments, of breaking all the Ten Commandments. If you keep the Ten but you lie, you've broken them all. So it's not violation, although we do several things wrong often, but a violation of these laws leads to disease, okay? And so this is very, very important. You can look at different conditions, but I will tell you that this effort is the disease process, okay? So the effort of nature to free the system is the disease process. It is always an effort to expel impurities, or sometimes we call them toxins, and to reestablish right conditions. The effort includes signs and symptoms. Signs are observed. So you might not even know it. The doctor might notice something about you. Your eyes might not look good, or your skin might not be looking good. That's a sign. It's observed. But a symptom is felt and experienced, okay? And signs can be discovered. It can be discovered through a lab test, okay? So a sign is observed or discovered, whereas a symptom is felt and experienced, all right? Now, the impurities, which we sometimes call toxins, they can be from the outside of your body, something that came in, or there's this process called auto-intoxication, which basically means toxins can develop or they can build up to higher levels if they're not expelled properly, okay? Conditions, however, are abnormalities in two things, okay? Now, I'm sharing with you some things that I can truly say flesh and blood have not revealed this unto us. When you have an abnormality or an abnormal condition, because remember, disease is an effort to correct, reestablish the right one, so when you have some wrong conditions, the conditions within your body are conditions of matter or and or function, okay? Matter and or function. Matter is something that takes up space. So when something in you is not right, that you could have something that doesn't belong or something that is it belongs but it's too much of something or it belongs but it's not enough of something. But it's that condition is there's some abnormality in the matter. Now, you can also have an abnormality in a function. The function can be excessive. Something can move too fast, like your thyroid can be overactive. The function can move too slow. The thyroid can be inactive. Or the function can just be a wrong function. It's just not doing what's right, okay? And the same thing with matter. You can just not have the right matter. You can have something that's just not right in the body. So that's still a wrong condition. All right, if you looked at diabetes, for example, you would understand that a person who has diabetes would have excessive thirst, just always drinking, and they would have frequent urination. Well, why would they have excessive thirst and frequent urination? Well, the body is trying to expel excessive amounts of blood sugar. Why did it happen? Because the cells didn't get the sugar. It stayed in the blood. That's because they have toxins and surrounding them that won't let the sugar in, okay? And we'll get to this another point in just a second. And it's also, how is it an effort to reestablish right conditions? Well, it's trying to reestablish normal sugar levels. So when you have diabetes, you simply have insulin resistance in most cases. I'm talking about type 2 diabetes, which is the most common type diabetes. It's insulin resistance. The toxins block the entrance of the insulin. And as a result of that, the cells can't get the sugar, so the sugar stays in the blood. That becomes acidic. The body says, hey, this will take me out. So it creates this disease process, which includes the symptoms of frequent urination and excessive thirst. Of course, the signs could be like if they tested your blood sugar, the lab would reveal that it's too high, and they would observe some things. Sometimes people with very, very high sugar have a certain smell on their breath. That's a sign that a doctor or nurse can, or someone trained to acknowledge, to understand it, can see. But you feel tired. Why? Because sugar helps with energy, blood sugar. And so if it doesn't get in the cell, you're going to feel weak. You're going to feel different symptoms as a result of that. So that's an example. Let me give you another example. When you have arthritis, what is actually happening is the blood is too acidic. And so the body says, I've got to have something alkaline in order to normalize the blood pH. So it pulls that, it pulls this alkaline substance from the bones. So the bones start releasing calcium, which is alkaline, to neutralize the acid in the blood because you ate too much meat and sugar and stuff. And so, but some of that calcium gets caught up in your joints. And it's like gear, it's like sand in the gears. It actually starts rubbing and irritating as you're moving the joints. It doesn't belong there, okay? And that's what causes arthritis. So the effort is to an effort to actually get rid of the acid in the blood, okay? Arthritis, see, people don't understand that. Arthritis is an effort to get rid of acid in the blood. That's the toxin that it's getting rid of is the excessive acid. And arthritis is actually an effort to normalize the pH of your blood. You're not going to learn that in medical school, okay, because they see arthritis just as bones, joints, whatever. Let's treat it with NSAIDs, that's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, then eventually some harder drugs and painkillers and anti-inflammatory drugs, whatever, and they just focus on the arthritis. And the things that they're putting in further cause your blood to be more acidic, okay? So they don't see arthritis as a blood disease. Do you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Do you see how this world is so mixed up? Arthritis is a blood disease. Your blood is too acidic, so your body says, I'm going to take the calcium from the blood. It just so happens that some of it gets caught up in the joints, and that is what causes the irritation that we feel as arthritis. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, brothers and sisters. These are heavenly principles, and now you understand why we need places like Torso and others all around this world and this country where people can come and cleanse their body, cleanse that blood, get alkaline substances, do juicing to alkalinize their blood. You'll help a lot of people with what you just learned today, my friend. If you would just help them get a plant-based diet and walk and exercise and drink water, you can do a wonderful thing to introduce them to the health plan of the Bible and eventually to Jesus. One thing I want to mention, when you have a disease, you can have more than one toxin that shouldn't be there, and you can have more than one incorrect condition. Okay, so just keep in mind, it's not generally just one. You can look, like if we talked about diabetes, we showed that it's an effort to expel the excess sugar and to reestablish normal sugar levels. But when we look at what's really happening, we're expelling toxins off the cell wall so that the insulin can be better absorbed, okay? So you got the toxin, and then you have the sugar. They're both impurities, okay? And then you have two different conditions. You have the condition of excessive sugar in the blood, but you also have the condition of blocked cells. So a disease can have more than one toxin, more than one condition. I will leave you with this thought. Disease also can be expressed as an alarm clock. In a way, we think of an alarm clock, and where it alerts you that there are impurities. It alerts you that there are incorrect conditions. I'm going to read to you from a book called Ministry of Healing, page 234. It says, nature bears much abuse without apparent resistance. She then arouses and makes a determined effort to remove the effects of the ill treatment she has suffered. Her effort to correct these conditions is often manifest in fever and various other forms of sickness. Okay? So you can have a symptom. You can have a tumor. You can have a growth. You can have an organ that's not working properly. But that is simply because the toxins have just so overloaded your body that the body is trying to make a determined effort to get rid of the toxins and correct the conditions. I'm going to read another one from a book called Healthful Living, page 200. It says, nature bears much abuse as long as she can without resisting. Then she arouses and makes a mighty effort to rid herself of the encumbrances and evil treatment she has suffered. Then come headache, chills, fever, nervousness, paralysis, and other evils too numerous to mention. Powerful principles, brothers and sisters. And we therefore need to understand that we need to cleanse our bodies. We'll talk about how to do that and what organs need to be cleansed at another time. But I think we've had a wonderful, wonderful time together. And we'll open the phone lines at this time after roll call. So on Facebook, we have Virginia. We have North Carolina. We have Virginia again, and we have Georgia on the line. On the call, we have Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey, we have Ohio again, we have Oklahoma, and we have Georgia. God bless you. All right, and we have Ohio already on the call, in the queue. So if there is anyone else, just press star 6. We have plenty of time to the top of the hour. Good morning, dear sister.
Good morning. How are you today?
Just fine by the grace of God. And you?
Amen. I'm doing fine. I wanted to ask you, first of all, the second book that you called off, what was the name of that book?
Healthful Living. It's a compilation.
Oh, Healthful a compilation of... A compilation of Ellen White?
Right. You should be able to get it if you have, like, the CD-ROM or the, you know, online. But the name of the book is
right.
Healthful Living.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. It was very informative. I wanted to let you know that we are praying for you and your family. And I wanted to ask you if it's okay if I put you on our prayer list for the prayer ministry.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And also we're going to pray for your ministry as well. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you so much. We'll go ahead and take our next caller in just a second. I'll just give you all a brief update. You know, mom is hasn't had dialysis in over a week. She's weaker, but at this present time, as of this morning before the broadcast, you know, her vital signs were stable, and she was just resting peacefully. I know she is ready for Jesus to come, and that gives us comfort. And that's the only update I can give you at this time, but thank you all for your prayers. We're going to take Sister Odessa at this time. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you so much for the message. I know I hadn't been on the line for a while, but I've been trying to be in deep study. I've been reading the book called Selective Message, Book 1, and I was reading the book on the Alpha and the Omega. I'm trying to understand a little bit about that. And also, I think one of the pastors back in the 80s or 90s wrote a book called Alpha in the Present, called Living Temple. Can you explain a little bit about that? I'm trying to get be prayerful and understanding a lot about about Adventism and also about where we are in Earth history as far as studying and trying to follow present truth.
Yes, ma'am. You know, we weren't told exactly what the Omega, I mean, she did in the statement where it talked about the Omega of apostasy, what you're referencing. And I just want to explain to everybody. We're talking about a woman with a third grade education who we believe God spoke through. The Bible speaks of a special prophetic gift given to Sabbath keepers, people who would keep the commandments of God. And we have found that Ellen White fit that description. So I just want to mention that. So the spirit of prophecy, or the gift of prophecy, or even having post-biblical prophetic messages is a biblical theme. Okay, I just want to mention that. She talked about the Alpha and Omega of apostasy, and the Alpha appeared to be spiritualism coming in. Mm-hmm. And when you think of spiritualism, it was brought in a lot of it by John Harvey Kellogg. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was first on the right track. And there were dignitaries, presidents, and dignitaries from all around the world that went to what was called the Battle Creek Sanitarium. He is credited with helping surgeons understand the importance of washing their hands after surgery. He dealt with a lot of colon issues, understanding the importance of getting rid of toxins. So he was years before his time. And even right now, modern medicine has not fully accepted the wonderful things that God revealed through John Harvey Kellogg. But he got a lot of the counsel and premise and foundation from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, the writings of Ellen White, as I was reading to you this morning. disease is an effort of nature that came from Ellen White. That being said, you can have natural healing, but you can then bring in spiritualism. Spiritualism came from the lie that the devil first told, and that lie said, you shall not surely die, but you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So it basically teaches that when you're dead, you're not really dead, so that I can tell you right now, when we die, we are not going straight to heaven if we're good. We don't go straight to hell if we're bad. That is a lie that came from the Roman Catholic Church, and they use that to change the doctrines of Christianity to be able to enrich themselves. If you went straight to heaven, if they can teach that you go straight to heaven, which appeals to the people, then they could teach that unless the church approved of you, you're going to hell. But you can buy your way out. And then they wanted more money, so they added a second step. You can buy your way out of hell into purgatory. It's not as hot, it's not as bad, it's not as painful, but it's still not a good place. Then you can pay more money to the church and buy your way out of purgatory into heaven. So they use the doctrine of an immortal soul to teach and to enrich themselves. That's why that church is the richest church in the world. Now, if you understand history, then the Protestant Reformation came along and they understood more about Jesus, but they didn't give up all the traditions. So they didn't give up the tradition of or the teaching of an immortal soul, and they didn't give up the teaching of the false Sabbath. That's where Sunday worship came in, and that's why we have all these denominations keeping Sunday. It came from Roman Catholicism, okay? So getting back to the lie, it also said, but you would be as gods, knowing good and evil. So it represented supernatural power. So you have people that believe in natural healing, and they have words for it now. They're into the paranormal. They're into the higher conscious. They're into consciousness. In a more raw phrase, we call them in certain countries, they were called witch doctors. Okay, so a lot of healing has been perverted and has it uses satanic power and satanic energy supposedly to heal using methods that heaven doesn't approve of. Heaven wants you to change your character and your life and the way you live. Spiritualism teaches that there are powers within nature that you can access through sticking needles in your ears. That's acupuncture, or a special way of massaging the feet. That's reflexology. There's different machines supposedly that they use to, and they use what they call quantum physics supposedly to access the energy waves of the stardust of the earth, of the world. And I mean, they have all different types of concepts, but all of them generally have a healing. So he got into what's called pantheism, which is God is in everything. That was John Harvey Kellogg, and I do believe that would be Alpha. I don't know that God has fully revealed what the Omega is, but I will tell you that spiritualism can come in a different way. When you come to church, and all of a sudden you just fall out and you're in a trance and the music is going, that's a type of spiritualism. That's a supernatural power that's giving you this euphoria that's not based on truth. They're not teaching truth. They just got the drums playing and the music playing, and you get into this rhythm, this movement, brothers and sisters. And so that's a type of spiritualism. Spiritualism can manifest itself in the occult, Ouija boards, and going to tarot card readers and psychics, but there can be, I don't let people heal me with, you know, different spiritualistic energy-based contraptions. That's all. So the Omega, I believe, also is spiritualism, but I'm not sure. It may just be spiritualism in all of its forms, Sister Odessa. But, you know, again, when we don't prize present truth and we just want an emotional Christian experience, we just want to hang out because there's good fellowship with the people there, that's leading to spiritualism, because you're claiming this supernatural power of God, but it's actually your emotions are involved, okay? So hypnotism. I mean, there's just so many different brands of it that, you know, you have people that claim to be God and God speaks to them. And, you know, people like Jim Jones, who took a bunch of people and they died drinking laced Kool-Aid because they were just following a man. That's all spiritualism. You're under mind control. So when you really think about it, anybody that would follow truth, that would not follow the truth, but would follow, stay in an organization for the sake of, I'm not telling anybody where to worship, but I'm just saying would stay in an organization if that organization was not teaching the truth, okay, just for the sake of, oh, I just like the fellowship. You see, think about that. You know, there is an influence, a spiritual influence. So we just have to be wise. We have to be careful. And, again, I'm not telling people where to worship. I'm just simply saying beware of spiritualism because it's in any type of mind control is a type of spiritualism. So that's my answer on that. I don't know exactly, but I believe that if the alpha was some type of emotional, spiritualistic experience, then the omega would be the same.
I'm thank you so much. And the reason I brought that up, and I'm trying to study more, but the reason I brought that up because my doctor had made an appointment for me. I have tingling in my hands. You know, I work a lot in the water, and I work a lot around food and stuff with the type of job I have. So I tried to get an appointment, and the doctor wanted me to set up an appointment with people that, you know, want to stick needles in my hand and electrical shocks. And I'm like, I'm not about that. I'm not about that. So I just told my doctor, I said, cancel the appointment. If I'm a sufferer, I can suffer with this. You know, I can take a little bit of pain, but I'm scared of needles and electrical stuff. I don't want nobody to be doing that on me. So I'm probably just studying, you know, studying the Word of God. And I know God will reveal things to you. And I just think I'm so grateful and thankful to the Lord because when we take time and study God's Word, He will reveal things to us. If we have that right relationship with Him, He will reveal things to us. And I see why it says, you know, the Bible and the Bible only. I study other books, but it brings me right back to the Word of God. So I just want to thank you so much. Thank you for your ministry. And thank you so much for the medical part, you know, the medical, as being a medical missionary, it is the right hand of the gospel. There's no doubt about that. And so I just thank you for that. My baby brother is having some issues, so I'm just asking you would pray for him. He's severely overweight. He's been losing, you know, with the herbs and stuff that I have been getting from you guys. So he's doing real good, but he's still slipping a little bit because he likes to go out and eat out. And I told him, you know, that is not good, you know. And I try to cook a lot from scratch and a lot of healthy stuff. So just continue to keep him in prayer. I've lost a lot of weight on my job. And I just thank the Lord for just blessing me. And I'm continuing to pray for everyone on the broadcast and praying for your ministry and hopefully and prayerfully that I can get up there to be you can be a mentor for me because I want to learn a lot about this. And I just thank God for you. God bless you, and you guys have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too. God bless you, too. All right, is there anyone else that has anything you'd like to share this time? You know, I was just thinking about what Sister Odessa was saying. You know, again, I am not a naturopath because naturopathy, its foundation says that anything that works we can use. That doesn't, quote-unquote, harm you. It's just that they're thinking of harm as in a drug, okay? But there are other ways of getting harm. You can have a spiritual influence. And it's in the book Prophets and Kings, but it talks about all false religion has some healing message. And it says they attribute their powers to electricity, magnetism, the latent forces of the mind, that's hidden forces within the mind. It says these are channels for Satan as the electric current. And so when you go and get involved in these healing modalities, what it does is it gives the devil an inroad into your heart and your mind to control you. And you don't want to be controlled by the devil. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. Thank you all. Thank you all for your prayers for those of you who've just come on. My mother is no longer going to dialysis, which the modern thinking is that, you know, you're not going to live too long after stopping dialysis. But the beautiful thing is Jesus is coming soon. The comforting thing is we know God loves her more than we do, and that she is his child, and he lent her to us for a period of time. And so definitely keep us in prayer, and we want to pray for all who have lost loved ones. And but at this time, Mom's still with us. We're just praying and staying and allowing the Lord to use us to be a blessing to her in this hour. All right, it's time for our closing prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, Sister Maria, will give us our closing prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for giving us insight to your word and feeding us fresh manna from heaven. Lord, we pray for our dear sister request, asking prayer for her brother and her family. And we know that there has been many lost in her family as well, even recently. And we just want to keep them lifted before you. We pray that you would be with Sister Odessa in a special way and help her, Lord, with her work, help her with her health. Help her as she continues to work with her brother on his health, and may you bless them in these efforts. We pray for all that are struggling and trying to do all we can, Lord, to uphold your health principles. Help us to have the strength, encouragement, inspiration, and the devotion, along with the discipline, to do all that we can. We want to be faithful to you, and we want to be able to be with you for eternity. We pray that you would touch every heart in a special way on this day as we ultimately do service unto you. May our efforts be successful. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.